Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Well. It has been over 4 years since I had a podcast, and I am so excited that I get to do this again. Welcome to the Otaku Podcast. My name is Hector. I am your host. And you know what? We're going to keep this pretty short and simple. My definition of short and simple is about 30 to 45 minutes, and most of this will be some filler talk, and in between the said filler talk, we'll go ahead and get some reviews done. So, let's get started. Otaku, well, why that name? Many of y'all from California knew me as Broco with Neurology Podcast when I used to host with my good buddy Jack from Canada. The nice people over there, right? And so that being said, it just couldn't be Neurology without Jack. And unfortunately, we have very different schedules and it wasn't possible. I mean, my schedule is severely busy. Personal life things, work and what have you. I try to record multiple episodes at a time so I can release them as time goes on, and I just go with the punches, roll with the punches, whatever that saying is, and just go with the flow at the end of the day. So that being said, with Otaku, that name is Japanese, obviously. It means geek or nerd, plain and simple. I'm a geek and I'm also a nerd. I like professional wrestling. I like anything DC, I like anything Marvel, I like anything Star Wars, I like anything anime, I love video games. The list goes on and on and on. And I could talk about it for hours, I could talk about it for days. And we'll probably throw in some sports there in my own little sports takes, even though most of it will probably be a bit unpopular to most people here in Kansas City, because I'm a Raiders fan, ride or die, Raider Nation. But, again, we go with the flow. So Otaku, that's where the name came from. Just being a geek and a nerd, and I put the two together, and, you know, I have some really good people to help me design this logo for the podcast, so I'm looking forward to many good things to come. And so, let's go ahead and get started. First things first, Thunderbolts. Many people saw Thunderbolts. Many people were impressed with the movie. Now, my review, it's pretty much mirroring what many people felt how great the movie was. It was different. It wasn't necessarily a too much going on type of deal here because, you know, they just got to the point with the plot, which I really appreciated. Every character had a pretty decent character development. Me personally, I love John Walker because he really didn't have much to do and much to develop in The Falcon and Winter Soldier. Or what was the other? Was that the series he was in? I don't even know, man. I'm so tired. But it was one of the series that he was in. And so, yeah, it was Falcon and Winter Soldier. I got to get my head on straight. And when he was named Captain America, obviously, the audience wasn't really pleased with it. I enjoyed the character because I knew the character had much potential. And that being said, this movie really brought it home for him. You know, this really tackled down mental health issues that dealt with depression, anxiety, loss, grief, and also failing your own expectations. And with John Walker, you know, he was built up to be Captain America. He was, you know, put on a pedestal to be Captain America. But unfortunately, he fell short because of his own imperfections, and as a result, the world viewed him as a criminal, as a monster, and that's how he treated his family, as you saw in the movie there. But the way that the movie ended with John Walker walking up high, head up high, and what have you, that was awesome. And then you got these other characters that dealt with grief and depression. They felt at a loss. And so it was amazing to see that. It was different. It was very emotional. I mean, there were some points in the movie where I probably shed a tear or two. But again, it was awesome to see that. And it really was a breath of fresh air for the MCU. Really, it was a kickstart for the MCU. And spoiler alert, in case you haven't seen the movie, which, why haven't you yet? But in case you haven't seen it yet, that second post-credit scene that we saw, oh my goodness, the Fantastic Four. And that's where this point leads up to now. The expectations for the Fantastic Four, first steps, and really, Thunderbolts was that prequel to what is expected with the MCU. And then the Fantastic Four, first steps, will lay the groundwork of what we ought to expect from the MCU. And that being said, you know, looking at the trailer, and especially the last trailer, you know, seeing Galactus for a few moments, and even Silver Surfer, it seems like there's going to be some pretty heavy stuff going on here. I also feel like Thunderbolts might make an appearance based on the post-credits scene from Thunderbolts. So that would be pretty cool to see both teams meet up and try to tackle down Galactus in some way, shape, or form. It is going to be amazing, and I can't wait for it, you know. Seeing Thunderbolts, how it was, and how the chemistry with all the characters worked out, and how all the characters were able to develop that close bond as close friends was incredible to see. And so I think we will see that even more so with the Fantastic Four characters in that movie as well. And Pedro Pascal, I honestly wasn't really sure about him being Mr. Fantastic. But after seeing some of these trailers, I think he has a pretty good thing coming for him with that one. I think he's going to impress us. All the other characters were perfect for me. I didn't have any issue with the casting of the other characters. So it's going to be awesome, man. I'm so looking forward to it. And really, with the Fantastic Four first steps, this is going to be probably a very important movie, I would think, before the big ones that are coming in the next couple years or so. Because again, as I said before, the Fantastic Four first steps will lay the groundwork for the rest of the MCU regarding this phase. So awesome and good things to come. I think, Feige knows what he's doing here. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's learning from the mistakes of what he was able to let out in the previous movies that we were just real disappointed with, including myself. But again, good things to come. I'm looking forward to seeing that movie when it comes out in a couple of weeks. Superman, oh my goodness. Superman. That was probably my favorite Superman movie. I don't care what all y'all Snyder fans think. I don't care about what all y'all Henry Cavill fans think. I don't care what all y'all Justice League fans think. The fact of the matter is, James Gunn perfectly portrayed who Superman is. He's a character of light. He encourages hope. He encourages a better future despite adversity, despite the trials and tribulations that one may face. Superman is that beacon of hope. Excuse me. So yeah, man, I was really impressed with this movie. I went in with low expectations, and I was really impressed as a result. Now, of course, this is a spoiler-free review here, so I won't get into the gory details about what I really enjoyed about the film and what I like to see done differently. But I will say this because, you know, James Gunn is James Gunn. He will put some silly elements in all his films, and Superman was no different. There were some scenes in the movie where I felt like it was a bit cringe. I will admit that, and I will, you know, tell it how it is. I'm not a fanboy, but I will tell it how it is as a fan, as a real fan of comic books and the movies. There were some silly elements in it where I'm like, really, James? You could have just gone without it, and the movie would have been just top-tier perfect. But again, going back to how he developed Superman as a character, holy crud, that was awesome, dude. Superman was human. He felt human. He related to humans. Did he get his butt kicked in some battles? Absolutely. Did he lose his cool a couple of times, including with Lois? Absolutely. Did he lose his cool with Lex Luger? Or Luther? Lex Luger, the wrestler. Lex Luthor? Absolutely. But again, I really like this character development with this version of Superman because he seems more human. Superman is not invincible. He has weaknesses. They were portrayed here. And that, you know, when you face those weaknesses and you make those mistakes, you learn from them. So no doubt, Superman will learn from those mistakes after losing some battles in the movie. But we've seen how he beat the people that beat him before and how incredible he was able to redirect. My goodness. Lex Luthor and Superman had incredible chemistry. They had a history, according to the dialogue that we've seen, which I love because nearly every superhero movie, even though there's different variations of them, we always see the backstory. We know Superman's backstory. We knew Batman's backstory. And that's why I really enjoyed the Batman movie when it came out in 21 or 22, I think it was. We didn't need to see another backstory to it. We knew how he became Batman. We knew how Superman became Superman. And it just cuts to the chase, which I really enjoyed from James Gunn. And he has the reins in DC. He knows what he's doing. He really enjoys the comic books. He really enjoys these characters. And that's why it gives me hope that he would do so perfect in the potential sequel. And we think about the potential movies that are coming out in the future that are not even named yet. But just think about the ones that have been named. Lanterns. Clayface. They're going to be great. And I'm looking forward to those movies because of what James Gunn has done already. Both with Marvel and DC. James Gunn really does take care of his movies. And he also knows how to develop his characters. And I can say without a shadow of doubt that I'm so happy to be a fan of James Gunn. Because, you know, nearly every movie he's came out with, he's hit out of the ballpark, man. And it's awesome. Really, really awesome. Now, a different take on a different genre, professional wrestling. Now, today is July 13th. Yesterday was July 12th. I mean, this whole weekend was a banger weekend so far. Because between July 11th, when Superman came out, opening night, which I got to see with some friends, that was an awesome Friday night. Saturday rolls around, which was yesterday. AEW All In Texas. Holy crap. If you're a fan of professional wrestling like I am, which I've been a fan most of my life. Heck, I even trained and wrestled for two promotions in California, EWF and PCW, for a brief time. It was awesome to see some wrestlers who trained me and worked with me do many great things for the industry. Now, in regards to All In Texas, there was a lot of matches going on, a lot of storytelling going on, a lot of character developments going on, and really, a lot of these matches ended on a beautiful cliff note, while others finished off a beautiful story that took a couple years, actually, to develop. Think about Hangman Adam Page, who's had a long history in professional wrestling, both here in North America and all over the world. Hangman Adam Page is the guy to lead AEW. And spoiler alert, he beat Jon Moxley for the title in probably the most violent match that I've ever seen in my life. This match is not for the weak, and I mean that in all sincerity. That was a very violent match. I wouldn't recommend, you know, children watching that match, even though there were some children in attendance at the there in Arlington, Texas. You know, man, it brought me back to the vintage WWF days, the vintage ECW days, where, you know, you can tell that these two wrestlers trusted each other to do some crazy spots and do some crazy things to each other and very violent things to each other. I mean, from the start of the match, Hangman Adam Page started poking Jon Moxley in the forehead with a fork, and the blood started coming out. That was a real thing that happened. Now, granted, you know, I mean, you know how professional wrestling works nowadays. It's no secret. Sometimes these are pre-cuts, things like that. And so in addition to that, you know, it was possible that Jon Moxley probably pre-cut himself before the match, and they were able to conceal the match, or the spot rather, with Vaseline or different things like that that are thick base where it's, you know, discreet. But once you start opening that little area, the blood starts flowing. That's possible. But at the same time, I mean, he started bleeding in the same spots that Hangman Adam Page was poking him on. So, pretty wild stuff. Barbed wires, chairs, tables, nails sticking from a board, forks, glass. I think the only thing that we were missing from that match was thumbtacks, which I was pretty shocked we didn't get that after seeing everything else. Both men were bloodied. Both men were fatigued. But my goodness, Hangman Adam Page, this was like 2 to 3 years of character development. This man was a champion. He lost a championship. He lost himself. He started feuding with the good guys in the company. He lost some matches. He won some matches. And it made him lose himself as a result. He was twisted. He was demented. Man, that feud was for Strickland. We saw the worst of Hangman Adam Page. He burnt, well, you know, storyline-wise, he burnt Swerve Strickland's childhood home. The man lost himself. But it was crazy to see the chemistry that Swerve had with him leading up to Jon Moxley. Even in the match, Swerve helped Adam Page win the match. We saw an awesome appearance by Daniel Bryanson. And, you know, it was awesome to see Brian make his return. As you all know, he's retired from wrestling full-time. That was the stipulation of his last match. If he were to lose, he retires, which is good because, you know, Brian's history of injuries. You know, he has two beautiful children, a beautiful wife. He needs to be there for his family, man. So it was cool to see him back in the ring and do his finishers and help Adam Page win. And then we saw Darby Allin make an appearance, his return, and this was a real-life thing here. Darby Allin legitimately climbed Mount Everest. He completed that trip up to the top of Mount Everest. And it was awesome to see a video that he took from the top of Mount Everest calling out Jon Moxley. I mean, the story development, like, literally, you know, this is Tony Khan's wonderful booking here and his love for professional wrestling and his love of the fans. He was able to utilize a real-life event from Darby Allin climbing up Mount Everest and using that storyline between Hangman Adam Page and Jon Moxley to make it come in full circle. So you see a video here from Darby Allin's phone. He's calling out Jon Moxley, saying that he's going to come for him, he's next, or what have you. And then from the top of the stadium, from the rafters, he comes down in a, you know, the harnesses all the way to the bottom. And that's a high, high, you know, thing he came down from. And yet he was able to help Hangman Adam Page as well. And you think too, you know, with Jon Moxley's run, I love Jon Moxley. I loved him when he was Dean Ambrose in WWE. I mean, he was a unique character. I mean, he would have been perfect in the Attitude Era. Like, I would have loved to see a prime Stone Cold Steve Austin have a feud with a prime Jon Moxley. And that match would have fed families for years to come. But that being said, when Jon Moxley had this title run over here, it was weak. The matches were okay. Jon Moxley done his part, but I really didn't like the fact that he needed help every single time he had a match from the team. You know, he had his own squad there bailing him out. And lo and behold, in this final match here, he had his people try to help him out. It was between three individuals that were in his team, the Young Bucks. So that's five people helping him to beat Hangman Adam Page. And then towards the end, that's where you see Darby Allin come in, Swerve Strickland come in, Will Ospreay also came in, but he was, you know, taken out by the team. And then we had Bryan Danielson also come in as well. It was cool to see that, man. And I'm not going to lie, like, seeing the conclusion of that match, it really did make me shed a tear because this was 3 years of a storyline coming in full circle. And AEW really has been remarkable in the storytelling in that. And, you know, this is going to tick off a lot of WWE fans, and I'm pretty vocal about my feelings towards WWE. I grew up watching WWE. I lived through the Monday Night Wars between WCW and WWE. I've been a fan since, you know, I was a little kid. But seeing how it's gone downhill, it's sad to see that. Like, I cannot introduce somebody to professional wrestling and show them a WWE match Because to me, you know, it's more of, I don't know how you would even say it. WWE heavily relies on backstage and in-ring promos and have the weak matches. Whereas AEW is the opposite. Promos are not the best, except the more personal ones. Backstage promos may not be the best, except if they're the more personal ones. But they know how to do their matches in an excellent way. But with WWE, you know, they do appeal to the children more, that I noticed. And they also appeal to the people that they have collaborations with and things like that. They heavily rely on celebrity guest appearances. And I really had a, you know, almost a heated discussion with a buddy of mine. And, you know, he said, well, AEW uses celebrity guests and old people. I'm like, dude, that's true. They do to an extent, but they don't heavily rely on it. We got Jelly Roll helping out Randy Orton for a tag team match. Like, why? Like, it's not needed, bro. And then he released all these good wrestlers, his good talents from WWE because of quote-unquote pay cuts or because we're utilizing our budget for something else. And then we see Jelly Roll making an appearance. He's not a trained professional wrestler. I don't understand it, man. You know, WWE used to utilize celebrities, but not in a way where it was forceful or it was something that they heavily depended on, man. And it's sad to see that. WWE caters to a broader audience, but here's the thing. That broader audience are not fans of pro wrestling. And I'm going to say that, you know, directly to the camera. WWE appeals to the broader audience that are not professional wrestling fans. Professional wrestling is an art. Professional wrestling is a skill where many talented individuals can do whatever they want and it looks cool. So all you people in WWE, you know, as far as the fan base goes, complains about AEW wrestlers, New Japan wrestlers, or even luchadores, where they do the flippy stuff that y'all hate and all the crazy stunts that they all do. Why is that okay for people in WWE to do it, and it's the greatest thing ever, when that's happening regularly in the other promotions? That doesn't make sense to me. And here's my other issue with you guys. You know, when Pentagon Jr. and Rey Fénix went to WWE, y'all acted like you were fans forever, but yet you were calling them out when they were in WWE. When Cody Rhodes was in AEW, who was one of the founding fathers of the promotion, y'all said he was selfish, that he only cared about himself, that he was too good, that he wanted the spotlight on himself. And that was true, actually. And that's why AEW fans booed him out of the building, and he left the promotion to go to WWE. And then when he comes to WWE, all of a sudden, you guys have been fans of him forever since he left in, what, 09, 2010? Let's go to CM Punk now, for example. The guy that you said was selfish, the guy that you said was old and washed up, the guy that you said was a botch fest because he slipped a couple of times doing finishers or stealing finishers in AEW matches. But now that he is in WWE again, you treat him like he's a god. Which to me, dude, that is pathetic, bro. CM Punk, Phil Brooks, is still the same selfish guy. He was great in his first couple of months in AEW, and then he showed his true colors. He wanted the spotlight. He wanted all the attention on himself. And then the fans didn't want that. The people backstage didn't want that. And he created drama on the back, and then he got fired. Like a fool. But now he's the greatest thing in professional wrestling because he's in WWE? Give me a break. It's crazy to see how fans act like little children. And they don't, you know, I'm not saying that y'all have to be fans of AEW. What I'm saying is stop the unnecessary hate. There are some points that I like in WWE. Dude, I like Gunther. But I hate the fact that Gunther's being treated like trash, bro. Like, you have him lose at Mania to one of the Uso boys. The world championship, mind you. And then you have him win again in a random, you know, regular TV event. And that you have a match against Goldberg? Like, what are you doing to Gunther, bro? And you made him weak against Goldberg as well. Keep in mind. Like, that was a weak match. I will give the credit, though. That was Goldberg's longest match. Lasted more than 5 minutes. I think it was like 10 minutes and 5 seconds, I think it was. I don't know. But that was his longest match. Like, bro. Like, I'm sick and tired of seeing the very few AEW posts from different writers or pages where they show a slight support for AEW. and it is bombarded by hateful comments in the comment threads. Like, grow up, people. Like, do better. Now, as far as All In, going back to All In after I went over this rant here, the women's matches were incredible, especially Toni Storm versus Monet. That was probably one of the best matches I've seen for women. The spotlight was there. They had some crazy spots. There was a lot of storytelling. And then the spot at the end, that power driver from the top rope, or was it the second rope? I mean, these two women trust each other to do these stunts. It's hard to say if they practiced it. You know, it really is hard to practice some of those moves without getting hurt. It probably has to happen in the moment. But, man, what an excellent match. You think about the match with Kenny Omega and Okada. Dude, these two had a history. They've wrestled many matches, countless matches, for many years. This wasn't the most high-flying, most violent match that they had. But, I mean, they're both older, too. You just can't do those crazy stunts forever. But it was some pretty good moments, some high-spot moments, some high-speed moments, and some slow-speed moments. It was just a classic match, in my opinion, of two long-storied rivals, concluding the page there, or the book, even. So whether they will have a match or not, that's up to Tony Khan. But I will say Okada won due to interference, which, you know, for me personally, I hate that crap in pro wrestling. Like, if you're going to have a good concluding match, you better have a freaking good match and end it fair and square. And, you know, let that come to full circle. Like, you just got to have it that way, man. So, really, as far as All In goes, I will give it... I'll give it an 8 out of 10. Because there were some matches in there where, you know, it could have been the pre-show and gave more time for the bigger matches. But overall, dude, solid 8 out of 10. Superman, I would say because of James Gunn's silly moments that didn't need to be there, I would give that an 8.5 out of 10. Thunderbolts, dude, that's a 9 out of 10. Easy, like, without a doubt. Such an awesome movie. And I'm looking forward to Fantastic Four, like I said before. Well, we'll go ahead and have a concluding segment here. And this pretty much is just shooting the breeze, man. Like, how life is going, some filler stuff, things like that. You know, like I said before, it's been over 4 years since I've done the podcast. And, you know, it was a lot of fun doing it with my buddy Jack with Neurology because, you know, we fed off each other as far as the chemistry goes. You know, he would bounce off ideas, vice versa. We would spend countless times talking on the phone or on text messages about what we were to do with the podcast. And we had a pretty decent following, man. And we were able to connect with other friends of ours, mutual friends of ours who also ran podcasts. And it was cool, dude. Like, it was an awesome time. But, you know, obviously it became a chore after a while because we would record every Friday night. And then I would spend my Saturday or Sunday after doing my normal things in life to try to finish the episode and release it in time. But with this podcast, with the Otaku Podcast, you know, this is just going to be for fun. I want to keep doing this for fun because I enjoy talking about the things that I love. But I will make sure that it will not be a chore for me. And so if it's not a chore, I will still have fun doing it. And that's something that I look forward to. And whether or not I have guests in the future or not, that remains to be seen. It just depends on how things go with, you know, the first few episodes of this podcast. But it's always going to be lighthearted. It's always going to be like I'm talking to a friend of mine. And I want to keep it that way, honestly, bro. Like, I always want to keep it this way. And I think because I keep it this way, it's always, like I said, it's always going to be fun. And I look forward to the future. Whether this episode is heavily received or not remains to be seen. I'm still going to be streaming my video games and things like that when I have time to do it. I think the podcast will take priority over that, if I'm being honest. But honest, that's cool, though. Like, I'm going to try to share some clips, you know, in the podcast as well, in post. And, again, many good things to come, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, as far as personal life goes, you know, I've spent almost 4 years here in the Kansas City area, and I'm loving it, dude. Like, it's been awesome. The cost of living is much less in California. I'm able to have a decent-looking house here and, you know, still live on a budget. And I'm able to make some great friends out here as well who, you know, like the things that I like. And we get along perfectly fine. People here, for the most part, are friendlier, based on my experience. Time does move a little slower out here, based on my experience. And people really just live in the moment. People are not as fast-paced like it is in LA area, you know, and you have to work two jobs, most likely, to make a living in California. And that in of itself, especially if you have a family, it's stressful. But here, it's not like that. The weather here sucks. We have four real seasons here. Winter's very, very cold. Spring is absolutely gorgeous. Summer, which we're experiencing right now, is dreadful. I mean, we got the upper 90s and almost 100% humidity. So it is dreadful. I hate it. I hate the cicadas. I hate all the bugs that come out during the summer. It is just, you know, a nightmare going outside every day. Lovely. And then the fall, of course. I think fall is also beautiful. And just seeing all the leaves change colors. And obviously, we have a lot more trees here than LA. So we see a lot more beautiful trees out here. Awesome, man. Food here. I think, honestly, the burgers and the barbecue is only good here. I can make better Mexican food. I can make better Asian food out here in my home than going out to a restaurant. I certainly miss all the food trucks in LA and all the good and real Mexican food, all the good and real Asian foods. But hey, I've been here 4 years now, and I don't see myself moving back to LA area, so things are going great with that. So yeah, man, I mean, and also too with work, I just got a new position with the school district. So I was working near the Chiefs Stadium in Kansas City over there, and that was about a 50-minute drive one way. So you do the math, it's almost 2 hours, you know, of work every day of driving. So gas was getting more expensive, and it was taking all my money away. But I just got a new position, so now I work for the local school district where I'm at. I'm doing the same type of work, the special education, and it's awesome, man. Like, it is an awesome privilege to work with little kids, you know, in the spectrum, because really, it makes me think about how I was when I was younger. And I see myself in them, and I'm thinking, dang, I might be a little autistic myself. You know, who isn't nowadays, though? It's 2025. But, yeah, man, it's awesome just seeing their little eyes brighten up when they see you. And, you know, especially when you're helping them with work and they start connecting the dots. Dude, that's an awesome feeling. It's an awesome feeling. And I hope that I can continue this work for many years to come. Hopefully I can step up in the positions, because my ultimate goal, as it was when I was at the youth facility, as some of you know, my goal is to be higher up in the ranks as far as, you know, where that field is, because I want to be an instrument of change. I want to help people, and I've always helped people. I've been helping people since I became a minister, almost 15 years ago now. I enjoy helping people, and I think with this position that I have, you know, man, I don't want to get emotional now, but oh boy, it's awesome, dude. Like, I love it. I love working with the kids. I like working with the teachers and the principals. And, you know, this was the best decision I made. The last job that I had with the state, working at that facility for the youths, it was a great work, too. And I still keep in touch with some of them, you know, those who were released from custody and they're doing better things now. But sadly, I didn't get much support from management. And it was tough leaving those kids because, you know, they love me and vice versa. You know, I done all I could to help them and gave them resources and tools to improve in their lives and, you know, introduce some of them to God. You know, it's been great, man. Like, I love that work. But unfortunately, it just became a place where I wasn't happy. And if I'm not happy, then I can't, you know, do the work that I want in a great way, was portrayed that way, that I love the work. And I hope things get better at the facility. I really do. I still care about the kids that are still there. I care about some of the staff that are still there, you know. But I think at this point, it's a state issue. The system is broken. I was in social services. That was the department that I was in. The system is broken. And I was hoping to be that instrument of change to improve the system. But I wasn't, you know, given an opportunity to. I was in the Leadership Academy, so I was driving 3.5 hours to Jefferson City, which is the state capital of Missouri, and I met with state heads, including the state directors who are responsible for all the funding and everything that, you know, gives us an opportunity to help people. And I talked to them, and I've tried and tried and tried, but Yeah, it wasn't going to work, sadly. But yeah, man, I'm happy where I'm at now. I'm privileged where I'm at now, and I'm going to go ahead and take it full on and do the best work that I could. But I hope you guys enjoyed this first episode. There wasn't a lot to talk about. I mean, like I said, I was going to keep it between the 30-minute and 45-minute mark. We're at 34 minutes now. And so, guys, this is awesome. Like, I really enjoyed talking to you guys, and thanks for hearing me out. You know, I got the Injustice movie playing in the background, as you all see. So I'm probably going to finish watching that and just, you know, relive some good moments that with the DC animated films, man. But, guys, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. If you're having, you know, any issues, of course, talk to somebody. Talk to me. You know, you got me on Instagram, you got me on Facebook, you got me on TikTok, man. My DMs are always open. Don't be weird about it, though. Like, if you really want to talk and be cool, you know, I'm available to talk, man. But I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. And as always, thank you for joining me in Otaku Podcast.